Party with your host, Dustin Rybka.
Hello and welcome to Sex Party. I am your host, Dustin Rybka. And this week we have the incredible Alex Scott on Sex Party today. Alex is a dating and relationships coach. She's going to help us sort of navigate how to have better relationships. If you're in a relationship, she's going to help us sort of figure out how to identify and do the work to have better relationships. If you're looking to start relationships, if you're out there dating in this mad, mad world right now, how do you bring certain things up if you want to try something new sexually? How do you bring that up to your partner? And what do you do if they react like a complete asshole about that? All that and more. In the back half of the episode, Alex goes through the burner and it's a blast. So without further ado, this is my conversation with Alex Scott.
This week's conversation.
Alex Scott, welcome to Sex Party. How are you?
I'm super stoked to be here at this sex party.
Yeah. Right? I mean, I've wanted you on the show for a while. We finally made it happen. But for the people that don't know you, they're not familiar with you, can you sort of intro yourself and talk about who you are, what you do?
Yeah, totally. So, hey friends, my name's Alex. I am a trauma-informed dating and relationship coach who helps women and the occasional man to heal from their childhood wounds so they can establish healthy, conscious relationships. So I do a lot of trauma work. I am trauma-informed. I'm actually still in school continuing my education on trauma as well. And it's a freaking party, you know. Healing doesn't need to be lonely and a never-ending road. You can have the right support. So it's really rewarding to be able to help my clients step into a way of being that makes them feel so good about themselves, and they know their worth and they aren't settling for less, and they're actually owning what they want in a relationship and speaking up for their needs, including the sexual ones. Because let's be real, sex is a huge part of a relationship. So shouldn't have the taboo around it that it does.
Well, you are in the fucking right place. You said a lot of things in the first 30 seconds that already sort of lit me up. One, right off the rip, healing can be a party or something of the sort. You just said, first of all, we love a good party around here, duh, right? But can you go into that more? Because I do feel like people, when it comes to therapy, when it comes to like healthier relationships, when it comes to anything, there's already that stigma like, oh, it's going to be so hard and I'm going to have to give up, you know, cocaine or no, I'm kidding, or whatever, right? So like, yeah. How is healing a party?
From my personal experience and like what I've seen with my clients, healing's a party because of how fucking good you feel on the other side of it. Like, look, I'll be full transparency here, you know, healing, there's going to be ups and downs. It's like surfing, you know, you're riding the wave. You have to work to get out to the wave. You're paddling out there. I'm not even a surfer, but this is a great analogy. So there's some effort involved, but then the party that you experience on the way in, riding the wave, feeling that sense of freedom, that confidence, and like being able to actually enjoy what life can give you, what relationships can give you, is huge. So that's what I mean by healing's a party. Sure, there's going to be times where you're working through some really deep emotions, but on the other side of that, the amount of freedom, the amount of peace, and the amount of confidence that you have is so fucking worth it. And by the way, those deep emotions can be processed way faster than a lot of folks realize. Like, it doesn't need to be a year long of therapy of going through those emotions. I have made insane amount of progress with clients in 1 to 2 sessions. So,
yeah.
You know.
No, that's amazing. And just to sort of build off that, and the second thing you said was the sexual needs piece, right? Because
yeah,
that always gets like not only swept under the rug, but like fucking shamed and shit. I always see people like, well, that's secondary. As long as you have somebody good at home, who cares how about the sex or whatever. So, and obviously this is Sex Party, sure. But I feel like in my own personal opinion, I'm not a professional like Alex. But in my own personal opinion, I feel like we sort of downplay how good sex feels, how healthy sex can be, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'm wondering if you can jump in a little bit more about being more open about your sexual needs and how important that is.
Yeah, totally. So, you know, full transparency, part of my story, I had a lot of trauma. I had a lot of sexual shame. I grew up in a very conservative, like, don't kiss till you get to the wedding altar type environment. So like, it very much was put on me to be a virgin when I got married. And that wasn't the case. Now, because of that conditioning, my first initial sexual experience were utter shit. They were awful. And I wasn't comfortable. I didn't feel safe. There was a lot going on. Now, because of those initial experiences, as I stepped into adulthood and living my life, I didn't enjoy sex to the fullest. I was like, this is such a thing for guys. I felt like a masturbation toy, quite honestly. Like I was just a vagina for them to get off on. You know what I mean? And it wasn't until I started really digging into my trauma and actually healing my own shit that I was like, oh my God, this really is like a fun thing to participate in. Like I can get off multiple times. I have the opportunity as a female, you know, in my body, I have the opportunity to finish multiple times in one session. So it's like, now that I've experienced that, I want that for every woman. And so the reason I shared that part of my story is because if you're listening to this and you feel like I don't really need sex in my relationship, like that's something that I do for my partner, sure, but you don't find joy in it, I challenge you to look back at your past and connect your sexual dots to see where you learned that sex wasn't fulfilling for you. Because I want to acknowledge any folks that may listen to this show that are identify as asexual and you're like, yeah, sure, like that's just something that like you don't necessarily need. But I think a lot of people have this limiting belief that they are asexual or might not get much out of sex when really it's trauma. It's shitty sexual experiences that have you physically numb. Like I was physically numb in certain areas of my body, Dustin. Like I couldn't be able to experience the fullness of pleasure until I started doing this work. And so I feel it's so important that, you know, sex is a huge part of a relationship, no matter how you define that for you. But that is the first step, defining what your ideal sex life and your relationships look like.
Alex, fuck. I mean, like that's so fucking amazing. Like everything you just said and the passion with which you said it, like I'm just fucking jacked that you're here.
Yeah, me too.
And I don't say that lightly because I really want people to walk away from every episode with a little value, sort of laugh at my idiotness, whatever, but also like come away feeling like shit. I feel passionate from what the guest had to say or whatever. And that is a fucking true representation, ladies and gentlemen, of passion, really, right? Of knowing what you've been through, how you got to where you're at, and now turning that around to help other people across. Because I do feel like in a ton of my past relationships with women that are coming out of relationships or maybe have cheated on boyfriends or are really unhappy and they're not, they really do get to this place where they're like, oh, I'm just not a sexual person or whatever it is.
Right.
And where I guess that may be the case, generally speaking, I mean, it's possible, but generally speaking, that's not the case.
Yeah.
And I think there is a lot of shame. There is a lot of guilt. So now that you stated that and you sort of have, we fast forwarded through your journey, which we'll go back to in a second. How do we pull a bunch of people out of that fucking treacherous, non-sexual, I'm just sort of laying here for my boyfriend sort of fucking place? How do we get them out of there?
Yeah, I mean, well, first they're going to need to want it first. Right. I needed to get to that place because like, just as you said, like when you identify as like, I'm not a sexual person, the first thing that needs to happen is you actually need to question that identity that you have so labeled yourself as for so long. And that in and of itself is probably, if I were to say, the hardest step in the healing process is admitting like, oh shit, okay, wait, I might be a sexual person, but because of my own experiences, I don't identify as a sexual person. And that is just, whoa, that's the first big hump. And then after that, it's like, for me, what really worked was intentional masturbation, honestly. Like I Okay, how full transparency can we go on this show?
Full trans, like completely full, like get,
okay,
get
like fully
it.
Explicit. Yeah. Okay, great, cool. Yep. I'm here for it. So here's the deal. I used to get off, like take care of myself when I was watching TV, listening to music. Like I wasn't fully focusing on what I was feeling. It was just like, ooh, all of a sudden I'm horny. Let me rub one out real quick. Done. Right. Like that's how it was for me. And I didn't realize it, but first of all, we need to understand that sex, especially for women, starts in the mind so much more than it does in the body. Like we have to be in the right mental, emotional headspace to even be turned on. So whenever I was, you know, getting off and not actually getting into my body, I was robbing myself of the full amount of the pleasure, right? So first I needed to like get really good at my own self-pleasure. And I say that to every client of mine, like be your best lover first. Like whether it's toys, a bullet vibrator, I don't care. Go out and have a ball and learn what you like and really shut the TV off, get into your body, close your eyes, fantasize about whatever you need to fantasize about, use porn, whatever. But the point here is for you to feel your actual body. Touch your inner thighs. How does that feel? Play with different textures and pressures and all of that, speeds, and actually enjoy the journey to the orgasm. Right? I think a lot of women are just like, I can get off in 30 seconds and we do it. Cool. But again, when you're having sex with a man, it's not going to take 30 seconds, you know? So figure out a way to enjoy the process, and that practice starts on your own. Then translate that into the bedroom with a guy. And hello, sex communication is huge. Like we need to stop, you know, being in our heads, men and women alike, you know, like Whenever I was hooking up with a guy, like obviously now my partner, but you know, I like to be thrown around. So like, let them know, you know, like let them know what your style is. And in the process, while you're doing it, if you're in a position, ladies, where you know, like this isn't doing it for me, put them where you want them. You have control too. Be like, flip over, let me get on top or whatever you need. But do not rob yourself of your experience because you don't want to come across as needy or demanding or controlling, like whatever it is. Like sex is a party. It is a game. Just like we all like to play board games together or video games, whatever. Equal participation is needed for a successful experience, right?
Yeah, I mean, again, wonderfully stated, wonderfully put. And also, too, I think there's another, because this, you know, our fucking like our white male dominated fucking culture the last like 1,000 years, right? Whether it's religion or whatever, it's just this weird system that's sort of designed that like women aren't supposed to be sexual, right? So, along with everything that you said, there's also this like, again, my opinion, what I believe to be like generational, like fucking guilt. Like I'm not allowed to be weird and kinky and sexual. And women pick up on that more so. Whereas like most of us guys are like, fuck it, I want you to, you know, or whatever. Yeah. We usually have no problem saying whatever. But with women, I feel like there's this guilt piece that's just been passed down from all of the fucking grandmothers and mothers and whatever. So I'm wondering, like, do you see that in your work too, or am I nuts?
Oh yeah. Hell yeah. There's a lot. There's like a double standard with, you know, male versus female, meaning like a guy can sleep with 10 chicks and it's like, you're patting your buddies on the back, like way to get it in, dude. And then a chick sleeps with 10 people and it's like, wow, you're a slut, you're promiscuous. So that's part of it, first of all. Then the other thing is like you said, this patriarchy that is very much intertwined with religion as well, where women are, you know, you're supposed to be this prim and proper, cross your legs, be ladylike, you know, dress like a princess to get your prince. But then the second you get married, you're supposed to be this vixen and this sexual goddess. And that's such a mind fuck for women. So yeah, I do. I see it a lot with my clients. I see it. And, you know, I feel for you men too, because now what's happening because of, like, let me be real here. The Me Too movement needed to happen. Like the amount of sexual harassment that goes, even a coworker of mine just was sexually harassed at a work convention last week and didn't feel comfortable speaking up about it because she's like, well, he just grabbed my butt. I'm like, did you give consent or not? And she was like, no, she's engaged. Like, she's literally engaged to someone. And this guy just decided to give her a little tuchus, a squeeze. And she turned around and like called him out on it. And he stayed away from her. But like, that's behavior that needs to be checked. So my point in saying this is like the Me Too movement needs to happen because those types of circumstances aren't okay, right? And even the ones that cross the line even further aren't okay. And now what we are seeing in the dating world quite a lot is men are nervous to make them first move at a bar or anything because they don't want to be coming across like they're trying to sexually harass or like they're a creep. So there's this weird imbalance, you know? So women are like starting to chase guys, which is an attractive feminine behavior, right? And so it's this weird push and pull. Like the dating world has been seriously screwed up.
Okay, so there's a fuck ton there.
Oh my God, so much.
Yeah, so one, the Me Too thing, I was surprised that there was like really any pushback to it at all. I mean, I shouldn't have been, right? I mean, after, I don't know, 1,000 years or however long it's been of just like, not bad behavior, but just like, holy shit. Like, we're killing people and we're fucking raping villages and all of this stuff. Like, we can't. And now we're like, yeah, a lot of this stuff isn't good. Your boss shouldn't be trying to finger you at the fucking Christmas party or like whatever, yeah. Right? So there definitely needs to be, and I'm glad that there was like a Me Too movement happening. Accountability. Yeah, for sure, man. And on the flip side, I think it's very interesting that you said, well, now men are sort of like backing off and not chasing women and women are chasing men, because those two things, the Me Too and whatever, usually don't go hand in hand, but you're someone who just said them both in the same paragraph, right? So
yeah.
I'm wondering, okay, if we needed the Me Too movement, but now dudes are like, I don't know, I don't want to get in trouble, like, or whatever, right? What do you think? Because personally, I like when women are more straightforward. I'm a really straightforward person, so it's just a turn on for me. Whatever.
Yeah.
And now that I'm like kind of thinking about it, even on the spot, a lot of my situationships or relationships spawned out of direct, like a woman coming to me and saying something. That's really cool. But I'm wondering for you, what do you think in order to sort of right the dating world, right? So it's not warbling all over the place.
Yeah.
What do you think needs to happen more?
I think we need to just treat people like people. Right? Because, and that sounds so simple, stupid, but it's true. Because the weirdness that happens with dating is like men clam up, you know, maybe not someone like yourself because you're very social and clearly have confidence because you have your own podcast show. But a lot of the guys that I work with, they get so in their heads about doing anything because they're like, I don't want to be a creep. I don't want to come a cop. And it's like, you're not going to be a creep ever. Unless you're talking to a woman who is giving you the signals that they don't want to talk to you and you're not picking up on them. That is when it crosses into creepy land, right? So if you just walk up to someone and you're like, hey, how's your night going? Or you see that they have a drink of some sort and you make a comment like, hey, can I get you your next Cosmopolitan or something, you know, anything, you know, whether you're commenting on whatever move you're making, right? That's okay. That's not creepy. It gets creepy when the chick is like clearly looking away from you, not wanting to interact with you. And you continue standing there to be like, can I get your number? Can I do this? Whatever. That's where it gets weird. So approach people like they're people. And let me be very clear here. I'm with you. I'm a direct chick. If I'm into someone, I'm like, hey, let's go on a date, right? But there's a difference between a girl saying, hey, let's go on a date. You know, I'm interested in getting to know you versus blowing up your phone. When can I see you again? That's chasing, right? When you are clearly overstepping, it's the reverse of what I just described with men. That's when girls get creepy, you know? So.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, although we're very different, men and women are just people, right? And we can both be fucking creeps. Totally. And there's no user guide to any of this shit, right? Which is a big reason why I started this podcast, is because I was just insanely curious.
Yeah.
And I, you know, or whatever, I to see like how other people, what they're doing, who like experts like yourself, a lot of the time. And everybody has like different ways of going about things, sure. But at the end of the day, it always boils down to really, truly, I think, like communication, right?
Yeah.
And just like kicking yourself in the ass, like go do or whatever, say, if you, whatever. And there's many levels to it. And we're definitely going to get into it. But like that has set us up perfectly for the rest of the show. That being said, so dating and relationship coach, okay, I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit about who you were before, right? And maybe a little bit about what inciting incident or incidents, right, made you want to do what you're doing now.
Yeah, totally. So who I was before, I was very, if anyone's into attachment theory, anxiously attached. And I was the girl who like, I was a great girlfriend. I knew all of that, you know, but I kept going after guys who would cheat on me, take me for granted or whatever. And I was always left like so frustrated and heartbroken. And I'm like, what the hell is wrong? Like, why can't they see me for who I am and my worth? And part of that was because, I mean, I was, like I said, young and naive. And two, I also was very conditioned to be attracted to shitty men, you know, like men who just weren't good dudes, you know, not good moral character. And the reason I was conditioned for that stems from childhood, which is why, you know, for a while, when I first started my business, I was just focusing on teaching relationship skills. And then as I started going through the work with clients, I was like, really, there's no point in me teaching relationship skills if people aren't fixing their shit. Because you can logically know all of the right things to do, but if your emotional triggers are popping up all of the time, it's not of any use to you. So then I started like getting into the healing work, and to take it back to my story, like, you know, the reason I was attracted to these kinds of men were because it mimicked the relationships I had with my mom and dad. And so that was so normal to me that I didn't see those behaviors in adulthood as red flags, right? So like, the love bombing, the gaslighting, all of that was rampant, but I was blind to it because that's how I was treated my whole life. So basically what ended up happening, my series of unfortunate events was, you know, shitty relationship after shitty relationship until I was in one that was so detrimental. Like I lost 20 pounds. It was gnarly, dude. Couldn't eat. It was so unhealthy. I was cheated on by this guy every 2 weeks and I stayed with him for over a year in like 8 months. It was gnarly. Like I look back on that and I'm like, girl, who were you? Like, why was the first time not enough for you to leave? And that was because of my own lack of self-worth. Like I really didn't think that I was deserving of a good dude, you know, a guy who really cared about me and was like, that's my girl, like proud to show me off. So when I hit my rock bottom then, and I will say this particular relationship I'm alluding to now, he did admit to me he was diagnosed with NPD, narcissistic personality disorder. And that's when I got really curious about mental health and like all of that. So I looked up narcissism, started learning about that. And I was like, oh my God, I have a parent who checks all of these boxes too. Talked to my older sister about it. She was like, yep, they were diagnosed when you were in high school, but never told you. And I'm like, cool, that's Gucci. And so I got to work literally like that month after I learned about that. I just dove right into my healing because I was tired. And I think everyone reaches a place in their life where they get there. They're like, I am at a fork in the road. I am so done with these shit relationships. Like, what do I need to do? Someone just give me the steps. So I started healing. I started doing, like I said, a ton of inner work, personal development. And then I started learning about like male and female psychology and relationships, obviously attachment theory. And I started implementing these new dating skills where as I was implementing them, the men I was dating were so much better, more communicative, more transparent, just better dudes, better looking, better energy. Like everything was just so much better. And so, you know, now further, you know, God, how long ago was that? 6 years ago that this started. I had something. I was like, okay, I have the secrets here to like healing your shit, dating, and actually attracting better relationships, better people. So let me give this to the world. And so that's basically when I started my business. So yeah, I'm so thankful for it. But let me tell you, I've been on one side where it's situationship after situationship, and it's exhausting and tiring and painful. And I've been on the other side where it's like healthy, conscious relationship, and wouldn't trade it for the world.
Yeah. And I do feel like, I mean, first of all, thanks for sharing that on the show, because that's huge, right? That's giant. And I really fucking appreciate that, because I do feel like there are people out there who, some of which do listen to the show, do watch the show, and they're just like, they feel lost, right? They're where you were, maybe in a shitty relationship, maybe coming out of multiple shitty relationships. Whatever they're doing, they're not happy. And it's overwhelming, right? It's anxiety ridden. It's a fucking mess. It hurts. It sucks. All the things.
Yeah.
So what's a good step one, would you say, for someone to be like, okay, I want to get out of this. I recognize it. But I don't know what to do. I'm just going to go back to the fucking tavern and meet another, you know, Tim or whatever, you know?
Yeah. This is the answer that no one likes to hear, but commit to yourself first. And what I mean by that is take a break. Like, if you do hop, if you are one of those like I relationship hop, like the second one ends, you go and get yourself into another. It's not what you want to hear, but I promise you, if you just take 3 months off of dating, your life is going to change in such amazing ways. And like, it's just 90 days. It's just 90 days. Like, you're going to be okay. And the reason for that is because if we don't take the time to like stop dating, reflect, heal our own shit. And what I mean by heal is like, you don't need to be like a magical unicorn, like all your trauma's gone. I don't mean that. I mean, be self-aware enough to know what are the patterns that you gravitate towards and what are you doing to stop those patterns. So if it's something like you don't know how to identify red flags, spend those 90 months learning what red flags are and how to spot them in your physical world. Because let me tell you, you can hear about love bombing and breadcrumbing all you want, but if you don't know how to spot them in real life, it's not useful knowledge, right? So really take the time to, like, again, commit to yourself. Whatever you need to do to put a stop to your patterns, whether that's learning how to set boundaries, learning how to speak up for yourself and feel confident speaking up for yourself, whether that's knowing when to leave a relationship or identify if this person's a right fit for you or not, get really good at that skill before you put yourself out there. And of course, I mean, shameless plug here, if you're looking for a coach, I'd be happy to assist you with all of that, you know?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. And let's say that someone does come to you and they're like, I'm confused. I don't know what the fuck I'm like. How does it work? What's your... No, you don't have to give away all of your secrets, right? But if someone rolls in and is like, please help me, what does the process look like? What can they expect?
Yeah, it depends on what program you join. So like, I have a healing program that I'm actually about to start enrolling for this month in May. It's called Healing Heart Hacker. So if you're like, if your story sounds like mine and you're at the end of your road, like you're at the fork and you're like, I am ready to commit to myself, then that program's for you. Because what we do is I take them through, you know, short scientific blurb here. The reason we stay in these habits is because of the way our nervous systems are wired. So the reason for my healing program, I take you through like understanding psychology and like, how do you allow your nervous system to regulate so that it can feel safe stepping into healthy relationships. So that's part of it. We do a ton, which, by the way, those are things like breath work, meditation, like cold exposure. There's a ton of different ways to regulate. Then we go into self-healing modalities and I teach a bunch of those. So, because it's not one size fits all. So like, someone who really resonates with inner child work might not resonate with shadow work and vice versa. So we go through those. And then the last piece is all about dating skills and relationships and things like that. Then if you were like my current program, which is a shorter program, it's 4 weeks, but it's all about dating. It's called Ready, Set, Swipe. And that's, I'm in it right now. And that one's really fun because it's like, we're all getting together. We're all like uploading our new pics into our profiles, optimizing our profiles, because there's a way to set yourself up for success on dating apps and online sites. Mm-hmm. And then we go through a little bit of like, what are your dating blocks? What are your patterns? And then we go into dating skills, like how to flirt, how to be a standout date, as well as red flags and when to leave the relationship. So that's a really fun one. And then Of course, I have my private program, and that's for someone who just wants a customized experience. So it really depends on where you are on your journey and what your goals are.
Yeah, sure. Which is fucking awesome, because it sounds like, you know, like you said, there's not a one size fits all, right? But there's different options, and people can choose, and maybe they do need some healing before they get to the dating, right? So maybe, you know, they do that first and jump over. You did mention red flags a couple times, right? Yeah. So is there like a universal set of red flags that people should be out there like trying to spot? And if so, what are they? We have to go through all of them, but.
Yeah, no, we don't have time to go through all of them. I could do a whole lecture on that. There are love bombing is really common, very common nowadays. And love bombing is, you know, establishing a false sense of intimacy really quickly. So whether that's large purchases or, you know, future faking would fall under the category of love bombing. Future faking sounds like maybe you're on your first date and it's like, oh my God, I like you so much. Also a form of love bombing, because it's like, we've been on this date for 30 minutes. How do you know you like me so much already? So if they're saying things like that and then going into maybe some future faking, like someday I really got to take you to this restaurant that I love out in LA or like whatever, that's future faking. It's like you haven't established enough rapport yet to make those kinds of commitments or say those kinds of things, right? Mm-hmm. So that's one version that I think is really common. I've helped a couple clients spot that even on Bumble. Like I had one client match with a guy on Bumble and he was going crazy and she's like, oh my God, I'm smitten. And I'm like, girl, run. Like this is textbook love bombing. This isn't okay. It's actually a huge red flag. Yeah. So that's one. And then I think another one that is dressed up super cute but isn't cute is boundary violations. And what I mean by that is I always tell my clients, like, create a life that you love first and foremost. Whenever we're dating from a place of desperation to be chosen, like, I need a boyfriend, I need a girlfriend, like, I just want it so bad. That energy is not cute. It's not attractive. It's not the vibe. So what I say is build a life that turns you on, that you're like, you're almost too busy to even think about dating. And that's when it's like, okay, this is good. Because the energy you carry and the confidence you carry when you have a life that thrills you is totally different than the energy you carry when you're like, I need a boyfriend, I'm looking for a relationship, right? So boundary violations show up when I'm on this date with this guy and I'm saying, no, I can't meet you tonight because I got a podcast with Dustin at 5:00. And he's like, no, cancel your podcast. Like, I made reservations for us at this thing. Like, do you really need to go on a podcast? Let me take you out. Like, you don't like me? That's all, like, he's trying to push me to break my own boundary where I'm like, I made a commitment to someone. I have this on my schedule. My answer is no. And they're pushing me to change my answer, right? Now, the example I just gave is like, that isn't cute. But the sneaky way that it shows up is like, but I like you so much. And I can't wait till I see you again. Please, please, please. Like, it's just this one time. Don't show up to Dustin's podcast. Come here instead. Right. And we think like, oh my God, that's so cute. He likes me so much. He wants me to cancel my plans. But it's like, no, he's disrespecting you. So,
and Dustin,
you know, and Dustin. So, yeah.
So we have the big three, right? Love bombing, future faking, and boundary violations, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, the trifecta. The starter package. Yeah. Because they do get intricate and they do sort of they get personal sometimes. Like certain people have specialized red flags that you don't really know how to read just yet, right? It's a fucking tricky game. Okay, with that sort of in the ether now, with your work, right? What would you say is the most common issue with people that are actively searching for relationships? What's the big hang up, right? What's the big thing that everybody runs into? It's like, Alex, I don't know. I keep getting food in my teeth. I don't know. Whatever. Like, what is somebody doing?
I think people really lack two things. One, I think people don't know themselves well enough and know their authentic selves well enough because of their own shit. And I'll unpack that in a second. And the other half of that is because they don't know their authentic selves, they aren't leading with their authenticity, which is the secret to attracting a dope ass partner that you vibe with, right? So like the first part of that, the reason I think a lot of people don't really know who they truly are is because we grow up in homes where it's like, this is how you're supposed to dress. These are what your interests should be because of the home that you're in. Now, if some of you had really emotionally mature parents, fucking congratulations, because you won't have to deal with a lot of the shit that I see with my clients and I saw in myself. But so many folks, you know, they had to conform to some kind of family standard in order to be accepted, you know? So for me, I'll just tell my story. You know, I grew up a tomboy because I had a parent who spoke really poorly about feminine women and was really degrading and condescending about them. So because I wanted to appease this parent, I identified as a tomboy. I still do, but I'm way more feminine than I ever was before because I've healed that within me. But, you know, I grew up like, not that Vans are super masculine, but I was like, I went through my emo phase and I was like, yeah, bullet for my Valentine, black everything in my Vans. And like, this is who I am because I'm not a feminine chick, you know? And then that paired with the religion where I was saying a whole lot of horseshit that I didn't even really agree with. But in order to be accepted and told I was going to heaven, I needed to identify as that, right? So that stuck with me and that filtered how I showed up in this world. Then when I finally had enough of it, I was like, fuck this. I do like the color pink. Yes, I will sit down and play through fucking Borderlands 3 with my partner, but like, I'm also going to curl my hair and paint my toenails and I'm going to go get a blowout on Friday. Like, you can have both worlds, but I needed to fix myself and find my authentic self first, right? I'm also a huge Star Wars, Lord of the Rings weirdo too. Like, I love that shit. I get off on that. Like, it's fun. But I never would talk about that on dates because I thought that that was weird. Like, I was like, a guy's going to think I'm weird if I love Star Wars and Lord of the Rings, right? Well, what ended up happening, you know, serendipitously was that was actually one of the first conversations I had by accident with Jordan, my current partner. And, you know, it ended up like giving us this whole foundation to build our relationship off of, meaning like our authentic selves connected there. So That's my truth is why people find it so difficult to date is you don't know your authentic self. And because you don't know your authentic self, you're not owning your authenticity on dates, which allows you to develop that magnetic, like, oh my God, this is someone I actually want to get to know.
Yeah. I mean, it's a fucking mess. and you know, and the pandemic, I think, has really messed that up even further because now there's all of these poor people who have been like in their house for 2 years, right? And like everyone's starved for intimacy. Everyone's horny. Like everyone's like freaking out. So I think that more people, and again, you can push back on this and not agree or whatever, but I think that this summer, you know, when they raise the gates and they're like, go get it or whatever, right? I think a lot of people are going to be more blind eye to the red flags than ever before because they just want to fucking be with someone that who's not, you know, fucking CNN Nightly News or whatever the fuck they're doing. You know, they want to they want to be around other human beings. So, I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
I feel like it could go either way because like I hear you. Like, yeah, people are horny. Like, let's be real. People are fucking horny. All right. Right. There's only so much masturbation that you can do for the last 2 years and really like enjoy it. You know what I mean? Like,
totally.
Let's be real. Sex is fun with another person. So, you know, and if that's you, I really encourage you don't need to be in a relationship to have sex. If you are like I am a firm believer. And for the men that I've crossed paths with in the past who have straight up told me like, I'm just looking to fool around. I have so much respect for you. Like, seriously, please just tell us. And if she doesn't respond well, that's on her. If she doesn't, if she does the old Alex move before I got to a point where I was accepting of that was, yeah, sure, we can keep it casual. Meanwhile, my little brain was like, challenge accepted. I'm going to convince you to see my worth, right? And want to be with me. which ladies, if you're listening, put that the fuck down, because take a man at his word, right? Like, do you have no convincing to do, and there is no amount of sexiness that's going to change his mind. If he's not in the mental state looking for a relationship, you're not going to change that, right? So, and that goes for everybody, but I feel like women fall into that a lot more often. So yeah, you know, people are horny and they want to fuck and own it and do that, but you don't need a relationship for that. And if you are looking for a relationship, stick to your guns, you know, stick to your guns. That's what you're looking for, and take your time.
Yeah, that's super on point, I think, because I do see a lot of women, and I've talked about this before on the show, but I do see a lot of women who will match on Bumble and they'll be like, so what are you looking for? And first of all, it's fucking, I've had it with that question, right? And I'm like, I don't know. And they're like, see you later, bye. But the thing is I respect that they're on that, right? That they're like, you're out of here, dude. I don't care about your fucking podcast or whatever they're saying. I totally respect it. But they're sticking to their guns. That's a fucking great advice. Because no matter who you are, like, say what you want, y'all. Like, be straightforward about it, right? Because it does cut down on fucking bullshit. Because you might convince a guy, like, with the right fucking sex moves. He might be like, oh, this is too good to pet or whatever, right? But eventually, he's going to be like, yeah, no, we weren't dating. I'm out of here or whatever. It's going to happen. So I love that advice. I think it's fucking... I think it's on point. Again, Alex, nice job. Okay, so moving to the coupled folk, right? What is the most common issue you see with couples? Is there one or two that really fucking... I love it already. Tell us,
have 2 points. I have 2 points. One, fighting. Oh my God. Fighting. Everyone. Whether you're coupled up or single, fucking learn how to fight fair, fuck, and fight respectfully. Like, fight respectfully.
Respectfully is an interesting.
Respectfully, Alex coined a word. Fight respectfully. So here's the deal: fighting's gonna happen. If you're on here and you're like, I'm looking for a relationship where there's no conflict, good luck finding that. It doesn't exist. I can tell you that right now. Because no human being on this planet is perfect. And just like you're not perfect, your partner's not going to be perfect. And a day is going to come where you disagree or they piss you off and some shit's going to go down and there are going to be words, right? So the conflict isn't the issue. It's the way you go about the conflict that matters. And this is something that I teach in my courses, because there's a lot of science about what happens to the body and the brain when we are in conflict with someone. Literally, our ears close up. Like, selective hearing is a thing. The other thing is your nervous system goes into fight, flight, or freeze response. So now your partner has become the threat. And so there's a lot of regulating. There's a lot of skills that go into fighting fair. And so that's my first thing, is like, look it up, figure it out, get a coach, you know, seriously, that is an investment that will save you so much heartache and so much time in your relationships, fighting fair. The other thing is never stop playing. I am so tired of couples thinking, okay, we're in a monogamous relationship now. Okay, we're living together. Okay, we got married, whatever it is. And they start taking life so fucking seriously. Can you stop? Build the pillow fort, watch Harry Potter, order a goddamn Domino's pizza, and fart in front of each other. Like, okay, you don't need to actually fart, but like, you know what I'm saying? Like, play, laugh, you know, go out, do something, get a Nerf gun and have a fight when someone gets home, like a Nerf gun fight, like whatever it is, but make your life together enjoyable. Whatever you two do that lights you up and gets you laughing your asses off together, make time for that every single week. And that is going to keep the spark alive. That is going to keep you two so in love with one another. And I will tell you this, going back to my first point with fighting fair, the friendship in your relationship is what will dictate how you handle fighting, period. If you have a good friendship,
yeah,
fighting will be better.
Yeah, because that's like the fucking foundation, right? You don't want to damage that. Super, super interesting. Okay. So number one, are you and your partner like having like blowout, like lightsaber fights throughout the kitchen?
Or oh my God. That would be so fucking fun. No, we don't have lightsaber fights. We do play a lot of video games together. We also, he used to be in the film industry. So we like to watch movies and like analyze like the shots that the director chose and the acting and like all that shit. I have a performing arts background as well. I used to be a ballet dancer. So like we both went through auditions and all that so we can like relate to each other. But we, I don't know, we make each other laugh a lot. We just laugh. I don't know how to describe it, but we would have a lightsaber fight. Hell yeah. And he would end up kicking my ass, which would kind of piss me off, but maybe he'll let me win one.
You'd like dress up like different characters depending on how you feel.
Yeah. And just I got him I got him lightsaber chopsticks. So maybe I'll have to ask him to like use one of those and we can kind of go there at you it go. That way.
Yeah. Yeah. Make him tie his hand behind his back. Okay. So you just said that to play more, to do these things, right? But to rewind just before that, you made that point. Why do you think it is that every relationship, no matter how like passionate or sexy or fun or nerdy or whatever it starts, it always sort of, I mean, in normal culture, I'm just sort of fucking, generalizing here, but it always gets to that point where it's like, okay, here we are. We're not supposed to have any more fun. This person wears the pants. This person's the sub, whatever. Like, why does it always get to, is that something we've all just sort of been programmed with because of fucking sitcoms or the fucking Bible or what's going on?
Yeah. It's just like the shiny syndrome thing. You know, it's like you get, okay, I'm talking to those of us who have bought a new car before. Okay. But like you buy a new car or maybe you watched your parents buy a new car, right? And you're like, I'm never going to get it dirty. I'm never eating in here. It's going to be so clean. It's going to have the new car smell forever. And then like 6 months later, you're pulling up to Taco Bell, you know, you got like chalupa sauce down your shirt and like there goes, you know, your cinnamon twists are in your passenger seat, whatever. So like that's why we get into a relationship and we're so excited about the newness of it. And then when the newness wears off and you're like, oh, I see my partner's flaws, there's phases of relationships and that part's called the power struggle where you literally see your partner's strengths and their weaknesses. And now you get to make a conscious choice. Do I stay with this person because I value them despite their weaknesses, or are their weaknesses such a pain in my ass that this isn't the relationship for me? Every single relationship reaches that point. And so you need to be able to know, like, do I value this person for every other aspect that they bring? And can I get past this one thing that pisses me off or not? Right. And it might be more than one thing, but I feel like usually it's one big thing. And the other little things, like for me, it's like the socks that are on the floor all the fucking time, or like, you know, the empty soda cans that just never seem to make it to the garbage or whatever. Like I can get over that because of the other aspects that I value. Right. So, you know, that truly is it. It's like people have this mind, and I think Hollywood too, people have this mindset that the right relationship is supposed to feel like, you know, this warm and fuzzy, I can't get enough of you. But let's be really clear here. Every single rom-com, okay, I haven't seen every single rom-com, so I can't say that with like 100% conviction.
You've seen them all.
Look, a lot of them display the relationship as it's developing. But and getting together and being established, not afterwards, right? It doesn't go through like, okay, and now here's their 1 year anniversary and where are they now? And now here's their 3 year anniversary and they're having kids. Where are they now? No, it's like, oh my God, I loved you. And they have this whole love affair and then something happens and they go apart and come back together. End of movie, credits roll. So it's like, you know, we need to understand relationships have seasons. They do. And so find someone you want to go through all the seasons with.
I love that. That's really fucking awesome. Well said. Yeah, I mean, you know, it. You always see like these, whether it's on TikTok or fucking the gram or wherever the fuck, like whatever. You see these videos or memes or something, and I've heard it a lot in my life. Even like away from the show, right? Like people tell me, oh, like I can't play video games, or you see that video of like the woman like, Jeremy, what the fuck, you like screaming or throwing his Xbox out the window or something. And then you hear from women that are like my boyfriend, my husband won't, you know, I can't go out with my girls. Like these, to me, those are things that are like, like it literally is making me nauseous even talking about it right now. Yeah. But I see that so much. Like somebody, like I saw a fucking post from somebody, I'm not sure who it was, and I wouldn't say their name, I wouldn't out them, whatever. But they were like posting like, here's a coupon you can screenshot and you give it to your boyfriend so he can use to play video games like whenever. I'm
no,
like,
that's
what
so
are we doing?
Not healthy. Yeah.
Yeah. So I see a lot of that. And I think a lot of people go into a relationship and as it, the fun times sort of that as the fucking silly string wears off. Right. And it gets into the real shit, like month four, month five. I feel like it always goes to that place where it's like the dominance is established. It's like, I don't want any of that. And I can't imagine that people go into a relationship thinking that that's what they want, right?
No, no.
It's like, it's crazy. So I just, it bothers me that that's the regular, that's the norm, right?
It's not. It shouldn't fucking be. And I'm with you, dude. It makes me nauseous as fuck talking about it. It pisses me off. It really does. I could talk about that forever. Like,
we should
girls,
jump off
if you don't. Yeah, like, look, if you don't want to date a gamer, don't fucking date a gamer. And by the way, you have no business trying to control or demand how much time they spend. If you don't like how much time they spend playing, you leave. Would they be okay with them saying, I don't like how long it takes you to put your makeup on and do your hair? Hell no. Are you kidding me? We can't dictate the way our partners spend their time.
Yeah, it's always something different. You know, it could be like, oh, she hates when I fucking Blair country music in the fucking driveway at fucking whatever, or like,
yeah.
He won't let me go to the store wearing a low cut shirt, like something like it's always something like dumb, right?
Controlling.
And exactly. It's like the power thing. And I feel like, I don't know, like in my mind, it would be nice, right? If relationships were more of like a fucking partnership and not like a dictatorship. So I don't know. That's just why we have
that word. Yeah.
But it seems like, you know, like if I'm out with friends or something, oh, I could never do that. If she found out, I'm like, what? Who are you dating? Like, or if like, I primarily like talk to more women than men actually, but and it's always the same thing. It's always like, I can't really go out with my girls alone. I have to check in. I'm like, oh my God, what is happening right now? No, check in. What is it, your fucking dad? And they're like, no, it's just the way it is. And to them, it's just very normal,
mm-hmm.
which is just totally insane to me. So there's that, and it's not a fun place to be.
No, I think like sending a text like I've arrived, like so that they know you're safe is one thing, but sure. Like keeping tabs on like when are you coming home, what are you doing, how many drinks have you, like anything like that, it's like you're not, this is where it steps into parenting your partner, and it is so unsexy. You are not your partner's parent. If you don't like the way they live your life, it is a conflict of value, or the way they live their life, it's a conflict of values. Leave the relationship, period. You do not get to dictate how your partner lives their life, period.
But see, a lot of people, men and women equally, think that it is their right now because that's their boyfriend. Like you can't go to fucking Philip's birthday party. That one girl might show up, or I just don't want you out without me. Like that's some insane shit. And like, I want to convince people like it's not normal.
It's not normal. Let me tell you from a professional, and by the way, like, you know, I've done so much studying on trauma, and my best friend's a therapist, and we have a podcast together where we talk about this shit, and we will both tell you that is not fucking okay ever. It's not okay. That will fall apart in time, whether it's 6 months to a year to 20 years, and then you finally get sick and tired of being treated that way. It's not sustainable at all.
Yeah, thank you. That's what we were driving for. Okay, so what does a couple do, right? Like when they have an otherwise healthy relationship, but then the sex gets boring. Like what's something they could like immediately run to?
Yeah, totally. First of all, if you are playing in your relationship, the sex won't get boring. But then let's say like, okay, I haven't been in a relationship for 20 years. So let's just talk to those people. Here's what I recommend. Mm-hmm. sex dice, sex games, have fun, ask questions, talk about what you'd want to explore. Something that I've had the married couples that I've worked with create is a will, want, and won't list. What I will do, what I want to do, and then what I won't do, which are their boundaries. But like, talk about that. That's a great way to bring fantasies up, because if you both make your own list, like what I want to try that you haven't discussed before, awesome, right? I talked to a sex therapist once. I interviewed her, and she was telling me her and her husband have like a little consent form, and he loves to make her uncomfortable. So he'll like do some crazy shit. She was telling me this one story where she came home from work and he left a giant like letter in like right when she walked in the door with some roses and was like, you need to take off all your clothes and meet me in the dining room. And he was in there fully dressed, but he made her dance with him, like slow dance with him in the nude while he was fully clothed. And that was like so vulnerable for her, but they ended up like, you know, screwing and having a great time. So, you know, play with things. Do you push each other's limits as much as you can. Obviously we want to be respectful and we want to feel safe. That's the biggest thing. Feel safe, have a signal or a safe word or whatever works for you. So that if at any time you feel uncomfortable, you can stop or slow down. But you know, there is nothing off the table. And if you, especially if you've committed your life to someone, like if you are in a committed long-term relationship or you're married, ideally, there's enough safety there where you do feel comfortable trying something that you probably before haven't wanted to try. So yeah, that's what I recommend. Watch porn together. Get some ideas, you know, watch 50 Shades of Grey. What version of that am I willing to try?
Right. Yeah. And it's sort of, I guess then the larger piece of that is with a healthy relationship, with a honest relationship, if someone has like, you want to be, like you said before, like sex is a huge important piece of it, your own pleasure, your own satisfaction, right? So if you have like these things that you think are deep and dark and weird and whatever, and they might be like taboo and they might, you know, be like, you know, super strange to someone else, but they're kind of like your thing. How do you communicate that to a partner without like pissing them off or whatever? This is really tough to do in a relationship, but I figured I would ask the expert while I have her here on the show.
So here's the deal. We can't control the way our partner reacts to us. We can't. All we can do is control how we communicate, right? So when you say, how do I communicate this? Lead with I statements always. And an I statement just sounds like I value, I prefer, I need. So in this case, you could use language that sounds like I really enjoy the idea, or I'm really curious about trying, insert fetish fantasy here, right? You know, let's talk about bondage. Like, I'm really curious about trying bondage. Are you open to that? And wait for them to answer. And if they balk at you, if they laugh at you, if they're disrespectful, if they get angry, if they're like, wow, what have you been watching? And they get like defensive like that. Red flag.
Yeah.
Red flag. You should always feel safe. And by the way, again, especially if you've used language like that and you're being super chill about it, not like, hey, our sex life is boring and I really wish you'd let me try some bondage. That's rude. That's going to like ignite some like defensiveness in your partner. But if you're like, hey, I'm really curious about trying this, are you open to that? And they're like, ugh, what? Our sex life isn't good enough for you and now you want to try this? That's like their insecurity. That's their wounded inner child being like blaring, and you need to tell them to look me up and get into my Healing Heart Hackers program, because that's exactly what's going on there. And that's what I mean by like, we all need to work on our shit. When you're with a partner who is a healthy, conscious partner, they aren't going to react to you that way. They're going to want to hold space for you. They're going to want to understand where you're coming from, what curiosities you, that would turn them on. Are you kidding me? If my partner said that to me, I'd be like, oh my God, what else do you want to try? Like, what else is on your mind? You know, let's talk about it. Let's see what options are on the table. That's the goal.
Yeah. I mean, and it is, it really truly is. And you're right, the right partner will be turned on by it. But I think that if it's someone is bringing that up and they've been with a partner for a couple of years, we'll say, right, and they bring it up and they get that fucking threatened reaction, anger, what have you been watching, blah, blah, blah. I feel like that person in their head is like, oh shit, like my superhero bread fantasy is super weird and I'm going to just not bring it up anymore. And they're just going to be in the shitty relationship forever. I feel like they feel like they're stuck. So how do you unstick that person at that point? Like, I mean,
I'll say this. I'll say that if you catch your partner reacting that way to this instance, like we're talking about fantasies, I can almost guarantee you it comes up in other areas. Like fighting, like making requests for like, hey, baby, can we cuddle more? Like, I would really love that. Like, oh my God, what, seriously, you're so needy. Like, that's another way it could come out. So if that is that person, I challenge you to go through your relationship, you know, look at it with a magnifying glass and see where other areas where they react that way and be honest with yourself. Do you want to live your life being treated that way? Because my answer for that person would be leave that relationship. You know, because that's really is the only answer, because there's nothing they can do to convince their partner to be down for their superhero bread fetish, right? But but there's someone out there who would be down to try that superhero bread fetish with you. So, you know, whether and so that's really what it is like, you got to be honest with yourself and you need to actually acknowledge a person's behavior. Like, and I think that's the hang up is a lot of us are scared to really just call these behaviors what they are. And I, on my podcast, I make it a point to do that. Like, this is verbal abuse. We cannot just say that, like, you know, someone reacting poorly to their boyfriend is them having an attitude. It's not that. They're gaslighting them. They're dismissing them. They're being condescending. We need to label these behaviors as what they are, because if we don't, that's when they're normalized. And that's what we're seeing. That's why we're having this conversation. Is like, it's been normalized for people to reject other people's fantasies and fetishes. It's not okay.
No, it's fucking disgusting.
Yeah. Like moral issues aside, like, let's be real here. Like, you know, if it's like a moral thing, then like, you know, violence or something, not okay. But sure, if it's a superhero bread fetish, if it's bondage, if it's wax, like, totally fine.
Yeah, it's really up to that person, right? But they have to be open enough to hear the goddamn thing out. Oh, you can't get to superhero bread and then wait, what the fuck? You know, and then
exactly.
It, right?
Yeah.
okay, as a professional, then why do you think so many fucking people stay in horribly poisonous? I avoided the T word there. See what I did? Horribly poisonous relationships. Why do they say?
Oh my God. I'm okay using the word toxic. I get that it's overused. I don't give a fuck. Like, use it. here's why. A beautiful thing called the sunk cost fallacy.
Tell us.
Sunk cost fallacy is when based in the lens of relationships and dating, it's when you've been with someone for long and you've invested so much time and energy that you don't want to start over. So you're like, well, I've been with this person for 5 years now. Like, God, do I really want to be single again and date again and like deal with all that? And you end up staying because you're like, no, you know, I guess this relationship is good enough. And if that's the case, like, hear me like over here with my megaphone, and I'm telling you, like, I can tell you, if you're already that much out the door and like debating your relationship, it's not going to go away in the next year and the next 2 years. And now you're going to be 7 years in having the same thoughts. So, you know, be honest with yourself. And this is why I think we need to know what we will and will not tolerate in a relationship. Cause it's like, again, like I said before, there's going to be some aspects of your partner that you're going to need to choose to deal with, right? Whether that's when they get stressed out, they beat themselves up, or they leave their boxers out of the hamper instead of in the hamper, or the Coke cans, like whatever it is, there's going to be aspects of your partner that you're like not the biggest fan of. But there's a difference between intentionally choosing like, oh my God, you annoy me when you get like this, versus you're not even open to hearing my needs in this relationship, right? Mm-hmm. So be honest with yourself and don't fall prey to the sunk cost fallacy.
Yeah, I love it. Fuck, that's awesome. That's really awesome. Okay, also, in your professional opinion, are there things that you should keep from your partner? And if so, I mean, I guess we'll get into them, you know?
Yeah. So here's here's my opinion on privacy versus secrecy within relationships. I think secrecy is when you are hiding something that you know would impact the relationship in a negative way. So like whether you sent a flirty message to a guy or a girl on Instagram that you know your partner wouldn't be okay with sending, like you're fucking up there, right? Like that's not okay. Whereas if you are having like something going on in your private life that wouldn't necessarily impact the relationship for better or worse, but you just don't feel it's necessary to talk to your partner about it, or you intentionally choose to not burden your partner with it, because that's something else too. You know, like if we're going through some shit, like maybe we choose to process with a friend or a therapist or a coach instead of our partner because we don't want to overwhelm them. That's totally fine, right? So I think that's really the difference is like, what do you keep private? What are you keeping private? Are you keeping things private that you know are going to impact your relationship in a shitty way? Because if so, you're in the wrong. But if you're keeping things private simply because you're like, you know, they don't need to know, I'm dealing with this on my own, or, you know, something happened and I don't need to stress them out about it, that's fine. You know, it's okay.
Yeah, because it's like, I mean, the one that everybody always goes to is like, oh, I found their search history and it's all brunettes and I'm blonde, or like, or whatever, right? Or yeah, it's gangbangs and I don't know, that's crazy to me, or like whatever. That it is something personal, right? Like someone's porn history is, you know, and there's that. But also too, like I've been in a relationship where we're gonna tell each other everything, and sometimes it just doesn't, you know, when you come back from the bathroom and the person's not there, but you failed to tell them that you slept with the waitress like 4 years prior, somehow they got that, you know, out of a conversation. Whoops, I should have told you, but you said you didn't want to know. I mean, there's always that sort of muck that sort of like gums up the fucking gears, right? Yeah. And that's why I ask, because it's like everybody has their own sort of thing going on there. But it is personal, right? I mean,
yeah. I will say, like, in context of the waiter thing, the example you just gave, I will say this. I had a client I was working with because she started dating a guy who she really liked and she didn't want to fuck it up. And she was like, I can see that I'm sabotaging this. And she told me a story where they were about to go hang out with a big friend group of his, and he had made out with two of the chicks that were there, and she was about to meet them. And so he told her leading up to the event, I just want you to know these two chicks, like I made out with them like a couple months ago before I met you. And like, I just want you to know, like, there's nothing else there. We don't talk, you know, but I'd rather you know now. And that's considerate. Like, I do think that that's a great thing to share. Did he owe that to her? No, but I personally, when she shared that with me, I was like, that's a huge ass green flag, because he knows at that point, sharing that with you, that you could have reacted so poorly, but he felt that it was in your best interest to know. So he had your back, and that's fucking gold, right?
Yeah.
So right. I felt that was like a grade A green flag for her. They're still together now, which is, I'm so happy, because it's been almost a year now. But, you know, it's like, I think that if you are in a situation like that, it's courteous to do that. Do you necessarily have to? Are they entitled to that information? Sure. No.
Yeah, no, exactly. They're not. And that's why I just wanted to sort of see your feelings on it. With my situation, I have a background in nightlife. I opened a lot of clubs and bars, whatever. So I slept with a lot of women, right?
Yep. That's the F&B industry, baby.
Yeah. And so I started dating someone. We were getting serious. And I said, well, if we're going to be around people, if we're going to go to this bar, because you go to other places and people work there, whatever. And so, or parties or whatever. I'm like, I'll just tell you if I've had history with. And so I did for a while. And so we were, good. And she would tell me too. And I'm like, okay, great. You know? But it got to a point where she's like, I don't want to know anymore. Like, we're up in high numbers now and I just don't want to know. So we went out to eat and I took a phone call and I went to the restroom or something. Right. And I noticed that our waitress before I sat down was going to be this girl who I had history with. And I'm like, I should tell her, but I didn't, cause she said she didn't want to know.
Right.
When I came back, she was gone. And she was like, she told me you should have told. I'm like, wait a minute. So it like, it can get really murky fast, you know, either way.
And so in that example, Dustin, I would say she's in the wrong because she needed to take ownership of the fact that she requested that she didn't tell you. And so if I was her, I of course, like, look, let's be real. If I was her, I would be like a little like, oh man, like I wish I knew, but I would have taken ownership in the fact that like, yeah, of course it stings, but like, I asked you not to, so I can't really be mad at you, but maybe she could have cleared it up and been like, okay, let me clarify. When we're going out to a club/party situation where it's not going to be like an intimate thing where they're waiting on our table, I don't need to know. But if I'm going to be interacting with them, I want to know, right? Just clear up that boundary. But yeah, you know, I just want to comfort you, dude. That was not on you. I can't believe she left. That's crazy.
I mean, larger question, what the fuck is the waitress doing talking to the girlfriend about?
That's weird. Like, she doesn't need to know. Is she trying to like, she was trying to sabotage you, it feels like.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, whatever.
That's not a good juju.
It was a while ago. Okay. Okay. So this last piece is something I do on the show from time to time with fun guests. It's optional. It's called the burner. It's like 10, 11 questions. Okay. So you want to do it? Because you have the option to say no, but pen pass.
Oh my God. I'm going to say yes and then regret it, but let's fucking do it.
No, I think you'll be fine. Although, I don't know. So I need you to channel like personal Alex, like step out of your coach.
Yeah, I will. And, okay. Hats off.
Okay. So name something, question one, name something you wish men would stop doing.
Like withholding their intentions. Just fucking tell me.
Okay. Question two, name something you wish women would stop doing.
Fucking know your worth. Stop settling for less. Like, own what you want.
Boom. Question three, name something you wish you would stop doing.
Oh my God, beating myself up when I don't get my entire to-do list done in 5 minutes.
Yeah, love that. Love that. I do that all the time. Backstreet Boys or NSYNC?
Ooh, shit.
Tough one. It's gotta be one or the other.
I'm gonna go NSYNC.
Okay. Yeah, I figured. Have you ever coached someone that was in your head, you're like, this is impossible. This person's
100%.
Really? Can you talk a little bit about that? Like give us like
Yeah, you know, I was talking to Jordan about this the other day. Yeah. I've had clients where I've had to use very soft gloves because they weren't at a place yet where they were fully ready to see their own contribution to the life they were creating. And so that makes it really challenging as a coach because I can't just be like, you're an entitled bitch. And if you keep acting this way, you're never going to get what you want. Right. Like I can't talk to people like that. Trauma informed over here. So it makes me have to ask questions to get them to think and reflect. But yeah, I've absolutely had clients where I'm like, we'll see how much progress you actually make, because if they're not doing the work and if they're not open to seeing their part in the life that they're creating, it's not gonna make much progress.
No, that's fucking awesome. Thank you for being honest. One thing you wish you could go back and change in your dating life, not your life, but your dating life.
I wish I did my inner work sooner. Like I really, we didn't touch on this today, but I got married super young and divorced super young. I got married at 20 and divorced at 23. And I wish at that point I hit a hard stop and actually got real on like, how did I contribute to that? And what can I do? And it wasn't until about 2-ish or 3 years after that divorce. Yeah. That I had that realization where I was like, okay, I'm the common denominator. I need to change me in order to have better relationships and dating experiences. So yeah, I wish I did that sooner. Wow.
Yeah, no. Awesome answer. We will definitely get into that on the next episode, the next time. Okay. I stole this question from Pornhub. This is like, I've asked it. We're getting very, very, like varying answers, which is very interesting, but perfect length of time to have sex. Not foreplay, but just sex. Like what's the perfect length of time?
Wait, but to me, foreplay is included in sex. Are we not including it? Are we talking pure like oral penetration time? Or are we talking everything?
Just pure penetration or oral or whatever, right? Right. So like,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, because I consider oral a part of foreplay. So
sure. Well, whatever. So
25 to 30 minutes for me.
Really? Okay. Okay.
Yes.
Interesting.
That's probably longer than your normal gal.
Well, I think, first of all, it depends on, it is, but it depends on, and the answers that, that I've got are, I don't know. And if you look at what Pornhub does, like it's like between like 7 minutes and 2 hours. So it's all over the place.
Oh my God. I have sex so much longer than that. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I have timed it a couple times. I have.
Yeah.
I'm curious.
I think I have too. Yeah. let's see. Name something toxic. We're using the T word now. Name something toxic that you've done in a relationship.
Ooh, I have, I hate this, but it's so fucking true. I've done like the passive aggressive, like I'm fine. Mm. And I'm not fine. And I talk a lot about that because it was such a thing for me and it's not okay. It's so not okay. Like if your partner can tell you're not okay, just own it. Saying you're fine is actually a version of gaslighting because they are picking up on something and you are causing them to deny their experience by saying you're fine. So those kinds of, those kinds of interactions.
It's the fucking worst. I hate that.
I know. Now, now I'm like, nope, I'm pissed.
Yeah. Yeah. Right on. Right. Like, fuck that.
So much better.
Way better. Oh my God. Okay. Normally this question's like, you know, one person alive or dead, historical figure, celebrity you can have sex with for one day only, but you're in a relationship. So if you don't want to answer that, you could just say like celebrity crush,
no,
whatever
I'll
you want
answer
to
it. Oh shit.
Love this.
Oh my God. Celebrity
anyone.
Crush or someone I want to fuck. Cause those are kind of different. Which
well
is
then if you're comfortable with answering, we will go with that you want to fuck, but you only get them for 24 hours, but they can be anyone. Alive,
yep, alive
dead.
Or dead. Okay, yeah. Let me think about this. Ooh.
It's a tough
someone,
one.
I have too many popping up in my mind, so I need to figure out.
Boil
I need
it down.
To figure out. Yeah. I'm going to say Ryan Gosling.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
It didn't take too long, so everybody got boiled like that. So, tell us a secret.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Welcome to the burner.
Tell you a secret.
Well,
I'm trying to think of
a
secret that's fun.
Yeah, this one's tough too.
Okay. Give me a second.
Take your seconds.
Okay. This is kind of embarrassing. Is that secretive enough? I don't know if this is secretive enough.
Only one way to find out.
It's more funny than it is like, ooh. Okay, here's the secret. Here's the secret that is kind of fucked up, but it's true. And I'll be honest. And I feel like this is more like the secret vibe you're going for than my other one. When I was going through, so when I was getting divorced, I asked for a separation for 30 days before I made like a final decision on what I wanted because I wanted to feel what life would be like without him around. And I totally made out with a coworker a few times during that time apart, which probably had a hand in my decision of leaving. So there you go. There's one. That's a secret that not a lot of people know, but now everyone who listened to this podcast knows I made out with a coworker when I separated from my husband.
Boom. Amazing. Amazing. Thanks for sharing. And finally, say something to one or all of your exes. It could just be one. It can be all of them. It could be anything. It doesn't have to have context. Just say something.
Thanks for all of the lessons you guys taught me. Yeah, whether it was no matter how good, bad, or ugly, thank you. Because I love who I am today and I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for y'all.
Yes, fucking love it. Alex, Scott, you made it through the burner. You made it through the episode of Sex Party. Where can people find you?
Yeah, I hang out on the gram the most at the Alex Scott, also on TikTok. And I will say my handle spelled with one T, AlexScott. So yeah, come hang out, come find me. If you're interested in working with me, alexscott.com. That's it.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being here. This was a fucking blast, and I will definitely have you back if you're willing to come back.
Yeah, totally. I'm down.
Awesome. Cool. Talk to you soon.
Giant, huge thank you to Alex Scott for being my guest on Sex Party this week. Fucking awesome. I love her passion. I love her intelligence. She knows her shit, and it's clearly obvious. And I hope you guys got some amazing value out of that. You can find all of her stuff in the notes below. Go follow her. Tell her, hey, if you guys are digging Sex Party, if you're listening on platforms like Apple and Spotify, you can subscribe to the show. You can leave a rating. Listen, you don't have to do any of these things. They just help the show grow. If you're watching on YouTube, yo, what's up? How are you? You can like the video. You can leave a comment. You can subscribe on YouTube as well. Again, you don't have to do any of this bullshit, but I would truly appreciate it if you did, and it helps the show. And we got big things coming. So the more love, the more wackiness. I can't wait to see you guys next week. And as always, you can drop me a DM on Instagram or Twitter. See you soon.
Thanks for listening. The party continues next week. Click subscribe and let's make this a regular thing. Follow the show on Instagram and Twitter @SexPartyFM. Follow Dustin @DustinRibka.